How's it going, everybody? It is once again me, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And as some of you may be aware, we are currently on break. However, I have decided to do some special episodes for you guys out there, kind of like a little mini season before we come back in full force. And for this first of such episodes, I was lucky enough to be able to interview two people that are creating a comic. Their names are Dan and Casey, and I'll let them explain to you what they're all about in their interview, which is coming up in a couple minutes. But I just wanted to do a little intro to let you guys know what's going on in the world of EMBL out there. We are going to be out for the next several weeks, probably 6 to 8 weeks in the minimum, but like I said, I'll be doing some special episodes. I hope that for at least one of them, my co-host Monica will be able to join us and give her commentary, but yeah, that's what we got going on. We got plans for a change of format, doing a couple different things here and there to make sure that the format is freshened up. And we're looking forward to coming back in full force once again sometime early in the next year. So January is our scheduled comeback, so to speak. In the meantime, I want to remind you guys of our social media accounts. We are on pretty much most of the major ones. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. And for the sake of convenience, you can find all of our links under the linktree.com/mythsbehindLGDS. Once again, that is linktree.com/mythsbehindLGDS. You can find all of our links in there. Like I said, Facebook, Instagram, etc. Also, our Anchor profile. You can stream our episodes from there, or Spotify, or pretty much any other major podcast outlet. In the meantime, I'll also be updating all the profiles that have been a little dormant as of late. For example, the Letterboxd, that needs to be updated for sure. The YouTube channel, that's another thing that we're thinking of doing for you guys. Maybe adding some video content so you can enjoy some stuff that would not be available on the podcast broadcasting, so to speak. But yeah, definitely we're thinking of a lot of stuff, and yes, those profiles will be updated as the weeks go on, so by the next time that we actually release an episode, they should all be up to date and ready to go for you guys. So without much further ado, here's the first part of the two-part interview that I did with Dan and Casey from Bigfoot Knows Karate. How's it going, everybody? It is once again me, Chewy, one of the hosts of the podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And we have a very special episode for you guys tonight. We have very interesting company. So we have Mr. Casey and Mr. Dan, who are the masterminds of something called Bigfoot Knows Karate. And I shall let them explain what that's about in a minute. But in the meantime, why don't you guys say hi to the audience out there?
What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing tonight?
Howdy, how's it going, y'all?
All right, so...
That's a terrible way to present myself to the world. Howdy, y'all!
Howdy!
I'm a talking canister of mayonnaise right now. I apologize.
You're basically an episode of Hee Haw. I'm telling you, you're basically like Mama's Family Hee Haw crossover. I said y'all, but man, I mean, y'all, howdy! Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I do have a banjo right here.
So. Yeah, settle down, Mini Pearl. It's all good. All
right, I need a hat. Anyway.
A sprig of hay out of your mouth. Anyway, yeah. All right, we'll stop running you down. Hey, man, go ahead, Chewy. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for joining us. I really appreciate you guys taking some time to join us and our audience out here. And well, first things first, because I was intrigued when I saw the name of your little character there, Bigfoot Knows Karate, and I guess the audience would have a question in mind. What is that all about? Like, what is that? Is this a podcast? Is this a movie? Is this, what is it?
You want to go, Case? You want me to go?
Yeah, this is a 5-part comic book series featuring the, I mean, it kind of speaks for itself, you would think. Bigfoot Knows Karate. But there's a lot more than just like a punch him up. This story, it has everything. Oh my gosh. But at the heart of it, it is, I guess, a revenge story. And if you would combine like the, you know, monster smashedness of Godzilla versus Kong and the amazing, like, gritty crime noir craziness of in revenge of, like, Kill Bill. Put that into a blender, you would have a terrible mess. But if you wanted it in a comic book form, you just buy Bigfoot Knows Karate. So
yeah, it's a story of a gentle cryptid warrior who has been isolated. You know, I mean, like Bigfoot, I mean, it's Bigfoot. How many Bigfoots are there really? If you were the only one of your species and you had no connections with anyone in the world, they can't see you. They've never had any interactions with you. But you're at the same time, you have a knowledge base and like a mindset, just an extreme amount of knowledge of, you know, the way of the warrior, you know, and the way of the fist. And so, you know, one of the things when we were coming up with this project, when I was doing like initial research, I watched a lot of Bigfoot documentaries. And one of the things I figured out about watching those documentaries is nobody really knows anything, you know, and there are, you know, a lot of theories and, you know, that sort of thing. And so, but the big takeaway was that nobody's really seen a Bigfoot. I mean, there's been photos and things like that, but I mean, you know, nobody's brought him one home for dinner except for Harry and the Hendersons, you know? And so, that said, that was like a rule that we brought into the comic. You can't see Bigfoot. If you lived an existence, like as a cryptid does, to never be seen, how would that affect you? And I think that's a really big, important part of the story. Yeah, it's a Bigfoot. And also, real quick, Bigfoot fights Cthulhu in this comic book, okay? You've got Bigfoot Knows Karate versus Kung Fu Thulu in the match of the century. the story itself is called Bigfoot Knows Karate, Chapter 1, Hunter Prey. That's the first issue. And we're really working that theme hard where anyone can be the hunter and anyone can be the prey at any given time. So that in a nutshell, plus a meaty twist at the end that we're really not going to get into tonight because we want you to buy the comic book and check it out. That's kind of the basic concept of it. And it's an action adventure, it's psychological thriller. And yeah, it's got that overtones of Godzilla versus Kong meets Kill Bill. I mean, we say that all the time because that's really a good way, you know, this meets that for the concept. So yeah.
Well, I just want to take a second to disagree with Dan here about one thing. Dan likes
this audio, right? This is audio.
Yeah, there's no video.
Sure, nobody knows a lot about Bigfoot. Dan will hammer that message all the time. But I mean, if you look at the 1967 Patterson-Gimlin film, go back and look at that footage, and you have all these respected cryptologists going on and on about how this Bigfoot is obviously female because the gait of motion there, it looks like a female's hip pattern, the way it's walking. Mm. No, that is bullcrap. Bigfoot just whipped major ass, doing some karate, and he's a little sore. That's where that came from. I will, on God, dude, that is what happened. And we're writing the story right now. So, I've had about 16 of these, by the way.
I was about to ask, how deep in the PBR are you tonight, man? Did you take a swim in the keg, or, you know?
Oh, man, like, so...
Oh, man. I love you, Casey. I love you, man. You're just fantastic.
I love you too, brother.
So basically, what you're saying is that in that video, we're seeing just muscle fatigue? Is that's what's causing that weird pattern or that motion?
Yes, okay. Yes. I mean, he needs some Icy Hot, at least maybe a heating pad or something like that. But Bigfoot, obviously, he needs a nap at least, at the very least.
So, I mean, we're going to for sure talk about the cryptid Bigfoot as far as it pertains to, quote unquote, the real world in which we live in. But I want to talk a little bit more about your project here, because I was looking at your website. And you guys have a preview loaded up there, like a couple of pages, right? A couple of panels on there as in the preview section. Mm-hmm. And I got hooked, man. I got hooked because, you know, he's kind of
awesome.
being introspective, and I guess, I mean, there's a bunny and a wolf, and then there's a couple of human beings there that aren't treated very nicely, but I mean...
They had it coming, man.
Yeah, of course.
They did.
So, I guess, you know, putting yourselves in the feet or in the mind of your protagonist here, where does that come from? Do you think he's a righteous person, or is he just kind of like an anti-hero, or like, how would you, like, in a couple of words, describe him?
I'd say righteous. I would. You know, I think that he kind of believes in the underdog. You know, I mean, as you can see in the preview pages, and for those of y'all who aren't looking at it right now, check it out at BigfootKnowsKarate.com. You can go to the preview tab, and it'll take you to a 7-page preview of the comic. You know, you see this this rabbit and this little bunny rabbit, and it's being, you know, hunted by a wolf, you know, about to be, you know, made lunch. And, you know, in the most heroic way, Bigfoot's, you know, jumps in to protect this little rabbit. And that rabbit, you know, is going to be very important throughout the story. It is almost like that little connection that he has during that brief moment before the hunters make their entrance. That meant so much to him. You know, like I was saying before, that isolation, you know, the little bit of compassion or, you know, just somebody who to connect with, or even if it's just a rabbit, that is like, I mean, it's almost like Lenny from Mice and Men, but he's not going to kill said rabbit. You know what I mean? It's a softness. It's something that he can connect with. And, you know, as far as, I don't think he means any harm, but at the same time, this character right now, I'd say, is righteous. I think he's going to grow, mm-hmm. and I think he's going to change. And I think by the time issue five is done, he's probably going to be very unrecognizable.
All right.
Yeah. What do you say, Case? You're so still. I thought you were frozen for a moment.
No. There's definitely he has an arc. He has a character growth arc that we're going to be definitely diving deep into. You were talking about he's being unrecognizable. As an aside, one of the things that I'm really proud of that we've committed to in this is I hate reading comics where somebody gets hit on page 2 and on page 4 they don't have a bloody nose or something like that. I mean, it's like I want to see the damage. This guy gives and takes, and it's kind of fun writing within those limitations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a challenge to write within those limitations, and poor Dan has to art it up.
Uh-huh.
As well, because we're co-writing it, but art is all him, because I can draw a mean stick figure and that's about it.
Literally, it's going, you know, it's
a mean stick figure. Growling on the paper. I'm the same as you, man. But so, I guess, is there anything from either of you in the character, or will there be anything? I mean, as spoiler-free as you can keep it, of course, as far as personality-wise or experiences, is there anything that either you have encountered throughout your lives is going to make it on the pages, or is this like a...
I have really big feet. and as I get older, I'm starting to get a lot hairier.
Right. Fair enough, man.
I
think some of the introspection is definitely Dan. I'm dumb as freaking rock.
I'm a hairless individual aside from the beard, so it's like I have like no body hair, so I don't have that going for me. My foot's only 10 and a half, so you know, I don't have that either. There's really no, I mean, maybe look, I've read some, you know, some Eastern philosophy, you know, a bit here and there, and I've maybe a little bit of that has come in, but I don't have a real connection with the character. I mean, this to me, it's just a story. I think that, you know, they say a writer writes what, you know, a writer should write what they know. I think that's a very fair statement to a point, but at some point, a writer also needs to break out from that and become, you know, and put themselves into other shoes. And, you know, I don't think that the stories you write are necessarily always a reflection of the writer. You know what I mean? I think I'm not saying I'm a good writer, but I think a good writer can write outside their comfort zone comfortably. Mm-hmm. Now, does that make sense?
Yeah, of course then. Yeah.
Yeah.
In issue 6, I do plan on having Bigfoot fight in a Waffle House in Birmingham, Alabama. And that is definitely a storyline that I can kind of relate to. So
that happened. Issue 6, that happened to Randy Savage.
It happened to me.
Oh, did it really? Okay, got you. That did happen to Randy Savage. He whooped ass in a Waffle House one time. So anyway.
I was so paranoid that I would find a video online or something, and somebody tweeted about it, but that was it.
So, like, thank God, a real life fight broke out, and you were there to witness or participate.
Somebody tried to slug my wife, so I had to.
That's horrible.
Yeah, yeah, jeez. It was an interesting evening. Police got involved. I ended up. So, what happened? What had happened was he was talking all kinds of crazy stuff while we were eating. It was about midnight. We had just seen a show. And my wife said, just kind of looked over and said, "We can hear you. Like, everything you're saying, we can hear you. You're, you know." So he got up and took a swing, and I jumped up and I made him kiss the floor. And I didn't know what I could legally do. So it was the most restrained fight I was ever in. But basically I wrapped him up till police came. But I might have let it hit the floor.
Rightfully so, man. I like to think that I would have done the same thing, you know. Of course. And I'm not married, but you know, if I were.
Not my kids, not my wife. Like,
yeah.
Look, I would have tried to do the exact same thing, but I wouldn't have to because my wife would whoop their ass herself.
See, my wife was like trying to get me out of the way so she could fight him. But
right.
Oh, she's wiry.
Look, I wouldn't screw with my wife, dude. Hell no.
Nah, that's just not cool. Dude.
Hell no. So good for you, though, Case.
It was awesome. A long time.
Yeah.
So speaking about the artwork, which, by the way, I thought was very well done, actually, in the pages that I saw on your preview there. Did you actually go to art school for that, man, or are you self-trained, or how did that work for you?
No, I work as a I'm a creative director for a marketing and advertising group up in the Dallas area, where I live in Austin, but I work, my office is out there. I've been doing art and illustration, graphic design my whole life. I mean, since I was a little kid. So I did go to college for graphic design. I actually ended up graduating with a degree in English with an emphasis in creative writing and a minor in studio art, because I just kind of got sick of the graphic design and art program. So I just kind of took my major, turned it into a minor, and finished my degree out, you know, just reading books and writing. It was amazing. And I thought that was the path for me. But what ended up happening was I slipped right back into what I always do, and I started doing design. And, this isn't my first comic book to illustrate or write. Neither is Casey's. I mean, Casey's amazing. But this is the first full book that I've illustrated completely digitally. I used to, you know, draw with pencil, piece of paper, just everything else. And, I started working digitally, kind of taking the concept of what I do as a graphic designer and, bringing those disciplines to comic books. So it's a very different looking comic book, I'd like to think. It's the line work is all over the place and very kinetic. The backgrounds, I was very influenced by old, like, Hanna-Barbera cartoons and, like, that brushy, grungy style, just the just very loose, fast, you know, trying to show the action that even when he's still of a Bigfoot in motion and just messing people up. So yeah,
It's cool, man. I really enjoy the artwork in there. So, and I'm like Casey. I can barely draw like a stick figure, but you know,
right.
Yeah. So I definitely look forward to the release of your comic and you know enjoying all the issues you guys put out because it looks like a very gripping story. It looks very interesting. I want to say it's very unique. I'm not a comic collector by any. I mean, I do collect a few comics here and there, but I don't think, like you said, I don't think I've seen art like that. And I mean, of course, every artist has their signature style, I would imagine.
Sure.
So, in your case, I mean, I like the way you're doing it, man. So it's awesome.
Thank you. It's a new style for me, honestly. It's kind of an amalgam between children. So I did some work, like a horror story for a guy named Drew Edwards. He has a book called Halloween Man. And so I did a horror piece and I wanted it to kind of be kind of grungy. I'd been playing with that style. But I also took what I learned doing a children's book about a grandmother and her dog and her cat that she takes on a picnic. And so the backgrounds are very much reminiscent of what I was doing with that. Not as cartoonized, but you know, mm-hmm. but just kind of some of the styles and the techniques to put it all together. Yeah, the look of it is very different, I think, so from most comic books. It's, you know, it's very indie in that regard. And, you know, I love indie comics. That's what we do. I mean, if I had my way, well, I do have my way. I don't read Marvel or DC comics. I read purely indie books, mostly stuff I get on Kickstarter. You know, some Image or Boom or, you know, I don't know. I'm reading. Well, I picked up the first issues of Ultra Mega, Casey. I haven't gotten to read them yet, but it looks amazing. So
I've heard it's rad. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yes, the style is very indie. You know, it's definitely not something you'd see in an Avengers or anything like that. But I think that's part of the charm. So, I mean, there's a lot of ultra realism in comics these days. I know you said you're not a comics guy, but you know, I mean, realism is very much the thing. Following along those Marvel movies and the DC movies and all of that stuff. Let's make comics, you know, let's do that. And, you know, I mean, ultra realism is amazing, but that's not what I do. So let's just go completely to the other direction and have some fun with it.
Especially when you're kind of going outside of what would even be physically possible, what we're doing in this book. It's kind of like there's no place for realism here. Like we're literally having I can't say there's so much that I can't say yet.
Right.
But,
oh, that's cool, man. Keep it.
Oh my gosh, like
my favorite
thing that's happened during the process of this comic is I'll put pictures in the script sometimes just so I can be like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. And I know, like, he's the artist, he knows exactly what the page looks like and what it needs to be. But if I can do something that kind of gives him an idea of what I'm thinking, then he can just take and run with it.
Hey, those pictures are helpful though, man. Those pictures are helpful.
Awesome.
Yeah, they are. Aside from that,
so
yeah.
It, well, there is a film from the 60s. It's some kind of French New Wave film, and it literally has somebody taking a razor to somebody else's eyeball and like cutting the eyeball open. It was, I put the GIF of that in there. It's really graphic, and apparently, what they did was it's an actual cow's eyeball. But it's still disgusting. It's creepy. And so I was talking to him about the script. I'm walking my dog as I'm talking to him about the script. And I have the script pulled up on my phone. And Dan's like, I mean, do you have to put that? Tell you what, and then it just blanks off my phone. It's gone forever. I guess that's too much.
Well, it was like a repeating GIF of somebody going, just ripping their eyeball out.
Violent act ever.
Oh, it was.
On loop.
Violent AF. So, no, it had to go. It had to go. I got the message, Case. I got the message. We were good. But we have fun writing this script. And the thing about it is, like Casey said, we're co-writing it. And so I've never worked on a project that was where the script was so unbelievably fluid, you know, because we're both putting ideas into this one master document. He's in red, I'm in blue, or you know what I mean, or writing over, yeah, you know, writing ideas over the top of each other. And what it's really done, I mean, I think the process has been manic but amazing, because we've found a real kind of a flow with it. Okay. And it's been nice having somebody to bounce something off of, you know, constantly. And, you know, somebody who brings really amazing ideas to the table. Casey has paced this fight scene that's just really, really amazing. And, you know, and he's such a great writer in his own right, you know, with his book. He's got a book called Voodoo Child, and he's, you know, show him the book. There it is.
Oh, cool.
And it's amazing. It was a great story. I'm looking forward to issue two. We come from very different backgrounds in our writing, you know. I mean, my background in writing comics is all stupid comedies with dick and fart jokes in it, you know. I mean, literally, it's a my first book was called Latex Avenger. It's got a sidekick named Spermicidal Foam Lad, and together they repelled crime 99.9% of the time. And, you know, so it was ridiculous. And Casey, we met you through a program that he runs called the Comic Jam, which I'll let him explain further. But the first time we worked on something together, we just clicked. We got it. And not only, you know, over the course of however many years we've known each other, like 3 years, Case?
Yeah, yeah.
We've never met. He lives in Alabama. I live in Austin. And but he's my total bro. You know, I mean, it's so working with him on this, it's just been, been top notch.
I mean, I would have thought you guys had worked somewhere together or had maybe met in school or something, but wow, that's amazing, man. You guys are just remotely collaborating on this?
Man, yeah. The internet is nuts. Wow. Like, one thing that I like about this crazy kind of journey I've had in comics is I never thought that comics would be accessible to me as a writer, as a creative person, because I live in the middle of nowhere in Alabama. When I was growing up, it was either LA or New York. That was where you went to Connecticut. So you can commute and go to New York. But, you know, now, you know, we have this amazing thing called the World Wide Web, and I found this group through Reddit that we used to be called the Weekly Comic Collab. Now we are the Comic Jam, and I started running it just to like kind of help give it a little bit of direction. And basically we pair up a writer and an artist every week, and we get them to do a one-page comic, because when you're doing comics, when you're doing comics for free, anything for free, you one page is not a lot. It's not a lot of time. And when you're doing art, that's a big time investment. So one page, you can commit to one page. And if you can commit to one page and do it and meet new people in the process, then, you know, who knows, that might be the person that you pair up with on a book, or you know, do other fun projects with. And that's how I met Dan. Dan came into the group. I thought he was messing with me because his art was so polished, and generally we at the time at least had a ton of beginners, and that was it. And Dan came along and blew everybody out of the water with his art. And then he's like, hey, man, I want to work with you on this thing. And it felt pretty good knowing that, oh, my gosh, this guy who is, you know, really, really well progressed in his own talents and knows what he's doing, wants to work with me on a project. So, you know, of course I'm gonna chomp at the bit to help him out. And my initial idea, though, was that I was just gonna edit, because he had this this sketch of this character that, you know, we're calling Bigfoot for now. He had this sketch of him in a gi doing a thing. And I kept saying, like, Dan, you need to do something with this character. It's too cool to just put up on the internet. People obviously like it. And he's, you know, I got wheels turning. I got something. And finally, he comes up to me. He's like, I really want you to co-write. And so I was like, I'll give it a college try. What do you have so far? Show me what you got. And he just, boom, just drop it. Like, if it were, like, in physical form, it would just, like, it could be a doorstop. It was how much stuff he had already kind of had on the ready. So I was like, oh, this dude is serious. And ever since, you know, we talk on the phone almost every day. I'll walk the dogs. We'll talk about the book, catch up. You know, he's my bro. I've never had the opportunity to get so, like, we had about an hour long discussion about how a character talks, like speech patterns, because I wanted to write this really, really difficult thing in that it would be difficult to read, mm-hmm. where a character who lives underwater when he's on the surface would go after every, and that's just ridiculous. That gets old really quick. But I'd written it in the script, and he was like,
"Wasn't it?
The hell is that?" And I was like, "You know, he's underwater. He lives underwater, and he's what? I mean, but yeah. We had a long discussion. We each, and he brought me over to his side. So that's cool. Now I know it."
Yeah. Sometimes but no, it was though. Absolutely, and you know, I mean, it's cool because we do, you know, we like there was this section that I don't know. I mean, look, we just seem to bounce it back and forth really well. I'm kind of a control freak, you know, and so that's hard for me sometimes to let go of things. And but like I'm really appreciative to Casey because like. He just sees things differently than I do. And it's, you know, I want this to be a good story. He wants this to be a good story. I mean, so I'm just looking forward to people finally getting to read it. You know, it's been a long journey getting here because, I mean, I came up with the character, you know, years ago and just didn't want to do the same old kung fu story, you know, that mm-hmm. we've seen, you know, that. You know, something, you know, the guy, the protagonist, something happens to him, he gets hurt, gets trained up by the master, and the, you know, and then they, you know, and I mean, we've seen it all before. So how do you put a twist on, how do you find something original in a world where everything's been done? You know, I mean, that's a real challenge. I think that we've got something unique here. You know, I mean, I don't know anybody who makes comics who doesn't think they may have something unique, but I mean, this is definitely not a facsimile of, you know what I'm saying?
They sure as hell don't have a Kung Fu Thulu. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. You know, and I look forward to all the other, you know, cryptids we get to work with down the road of the story because, you know, others will be making appearances. I mean, that's no shock to anybody if I say that. You know what I mean? If you got a Bigfoot, you got a Cthulhu. I mean, there's inevitably we're going to see something else. Man, I got bit by a mosquito right there. That's obnoxious. Anyway. So, I mean, the whole process has just been a pleasure. I mean, I'm tying a bow on that, so...
You were speaking about how, I guess, physics-wise or fight choreography, you guys aren't going to have any limits. But are there any limits to the story itself as to how far you might take the story for now, at least? Or maybe, like, there's something, okay, that's not something that we're going to be covering? Or, I mean, maybe not specific, but just in general, is there something that you would not want to write about or...
There's a full like arc that we have for this character, mm-hmm. it's we got the beats hammered out, but mm-hmm. If we find another arc that we want to go on, we're gonna leave it a little open ended.
Okay.
You know, he may or may not make this. Through the whole five issues, but you know, we're not going to close any doors on this world. Uh-huh. As far as like physics go, like there are consequences of actions, but I mean, when you have basically like a gorilla man ape thing fighting a massive underwater sea god, like there are some things that you kind of have to get cool with real quick when it comes to like like accepting things.
Of course, man.
Yeah, man, and then you have to figure out how to like draw it and like make, because some of the things we, you know, you have to be very size, figure it out, art boy. You have to be very size dependent, you know. I mean, how can something that's this tall fight something that's this tall and make it credible? You know, and you know, make it credible. So
I get so excited thinking about this.
Yeah, so we really had to use our brains and to do something that wasn't so expected.
That's the best way to put it. Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll keep it at that. I'll stop there. We definitely have a path we're going down. It's just not the path you think we're gonna, you know, when you think Bigfoot knows karate, that spells it out to a degree. But it really is, it's just the beginning of what we're about to do. So, like Casey said, we're not really leaving any doors, you know, we're closing any doors or anything like that. But we do know where we're going in the story. And I think that it's going to bring the best of many worlds together and be intriguing. And I think, you know, when Casey mentioned the revenge story aspect, the original concept of this is, I mean, I did want to do a revenge story, but how the hell do you do a revenge story when you're the only thing in its existence? You have no wife, you have no kids to be kidnapped or killed, you know, you have no possessions because you're freaking Bigfoot. You know, it's not like he's got a, you know, color TV and, you know, a Maserati that he's just chilling with somebody because of steel. So there was nothing to really take revenge on. But I wanted to do a revenge story. Mm-hmm. We got 5 issues to play with. It's going to be fun.
I'm definitely looking forward to it, man, for sure.
Cool, man. Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's awesome that you guys are pushing the indie community. I would have no idea that there was this like subculture, if you want to call it this way, of artists working together through Reddit and meeting up and maybe creating their own books like you guys are. So it's awesome that you guys are pushing that, man, because I feel like people deserve a shot sometimes, you know, as far as if you got what it takes and you're willing to put in the work, I think it's an opportunity that people should have to kind of put their ideas out there, man, because we need more content, man. I mean, I'm not against comic books. Like, I do like the movies, you know, the Marvel movies, but I mean, we've done Captain America for, what, 60 years already? 70 years? Superman for 70 years. I mean, it's awesome. I mean, nothing against those characters or anything. But, I mean, at the same time, I do feel like there needs to be a refresher or, like, a new talent, I guess, so to speak, if you want to call it that way. So it's awesome that you guys
are doing that, man. The words right out of my mouth. Yeah. 80-year-old characters have been done and done and done and done and done. And I'm not, you know, hey, look, I'm not one to, you know, I don't have the right to crap on Batman, Superman, Captain America, the amazing characters. But how many times can you refresh them and redo them? Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen Batman's origin in the movies alone?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give me something fresh, give me something new, give me something exciting, give me something punchy, happy, snappy, and let's do this. You know, I mean, it's so I'm that's why I like indie comics. It's a new breath into an old genre that is that, you know, that I'm personally in love with. So I think I cut you off, Casey. I'm sorry, dude.
Oh, no. So what I was gonna say is, like, what's cool about the indie community in particular is, like, you have the big two, right? And they'll never go away. Captain America will always eventually be back to being Captain America again. I do not think they'll ever retire him. I don't think they'll ever retire Bruce Wayne or anything like that. And but the indie community has the agency now to be able to want to see themselves in the characters that they're portraying. Mm-hmm. Dan and I are bearded white dudes. Like, but there's so many other people out there, and there's so many amazing indie artists out there. One thing that I've been really proud of with the Comic Jam is I've been able to kind of help get people to find one another. Mm-hmm. And to kind of utilize their talents and push their talents. And we have a, you know, people from all over the spectrum of life making comics and really doing new things that they didn't think that they even had the opportunity to do, maybe. Mm-hmm. So indie comics are awesome. It's a great, and even more awesome, the indie horror community is also something that you need to check out, because it's people just really going after the thing they love and just unapologetically just giving it the biggest, stinkiest bear hug ever and, you know, making something amazing. So,
you know, and the thing is, we met over Instagram. I mean, by and large, I mean, we got,
yeah,
I got invested in the Comics Jam together, but we met over Instagram. I love Instagram. I love Instagram. I love the indie comics community on Instagram. The artists, the writers, everybody is so supportive of each other. And like, I didn't know that the internet could be that sweet. You know what I mean? I didn't even know that was possible. It's a whole different world than it is on Twitter or Facebook and that sort of thing, where people are just a little bit more cutthroat, I think, you know. And Instagram, everybody's really trying to lift each other up. And this book would not be where it is, you know, going into its Kickstarter without all the people who have been supporting us on Instagram. We've received over 50 pieces of fan art at this point. I mean, that's before book one's even come out. And that's before book one even ever came out. And so we're just so excited, and that people are excited about the comic. I mean, that's really cool. One of the variant covers that we have in the book, I know this is audio only, so sorry guys, but one of the variant covers that we have two of them, and this is one of them. And this was, let me see if I can get that.
Can you see the glare out of it.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And when we got it, I was like, well, there's no way that could just be fan art, you know? I mean, so we paid him, and, you know, and now it's a cover. And we're doing something really cool with the comic, just to kind of veer off for a second. I mentioned there's multiple covers. We're doing two editions of the comic with two covers for each edition. And we have a regular edition and we have a deluxe edition. In the regular edition, you got a 30-page story, full color, the book, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we have the deluxe edition where we're doing a 44-page deluxe edition that has the 30-page story. We're doing a 10-page fan art gallery, and then some extra sketches by me. And then the cool thing that I think is cool, anyway, it's a link to a director's commentary roundtable discussion between myself, Casey, and a few other folks that are going to be taking part in with us. And we're going to go through the book step by step, creative process, you know, the pages themselves, where we're going. We can really discuss the whole story, of issue one. We can really talk about it for the first time. Mm-hmm. Because we've been so tight-lipped about the comic. I'm ready to explode, you know, if I don't get to say, and then this happened, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't do that. And it's really like verbal handcuffs at this point. So, so we've got some cool things planned in the Kickstarter. So I'm really excited about that deluxe edition. And, so we'll have two covers for the regular, two covers for the deluxe. We even have a tier that you can pick up all four if you want. So pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. So, I'm going to ask you one more thing, and then after this we're going to take a break real quick, but okay. If you guys ever had a chance and somebody said, you know what, I want to make an animated short out of this, like an actual mini movie or something like that, would you guys jump at that chance, or would you think about it, or?
Think about it for sure. You know, I mean, Look, I mean, I think at the end of the day, and Casey's not going to argue with me on this one, is, you know, we'd love to do something like a Netflix or something like that and get the story in to, you know, like a mini series or something like that. Mm-hmm. If it's not a, I mean, you know, it depends on the production company that wants to do it. Depends on how much money they're willing to put into it. It's like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't jump at just any chance to do that kind of thing, just because if they don't have the skills to pay the bills sort of thing, then I'm not interested. I want the, I mean, like I said, I was a control freak earlier. I'll also jump in and say I'm also a bit of a perfectionist too. Mm-hmm. And so if it's not going to be exactly, not exactly what I want, you know, or what, you know, what we want, you know, but if it's not good,
yeah,
if it's not good, then I'm not interested. You know, I mean, if you've got a, did you ever see that Tick, the Tick cartoon back in the day? Mm-hmm. And that was fantastic. And then they made that, the Tick live action show with Patrick Warburton. Yeah. And that was just terrible. Mm-hmm. And then they tried it again with, they made a live action Tick. And I watched a couple episodes. It was pretty good. But you know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to do this, I want either the cartoon or the new live action, not the Patrick Warburton. You know what I mean? Because if Patrick Warburton played Bigfoot Knows Karate, that would just be really depressing. But anyway, do you get my drift? I mean, Casey, no,
of course,
what do you think?
Of course. It makes perfect sense to wanna in a way, protect your property because... You know, I think a lot of people... I don't want to say, I mean, maybe the word is would be a mistake. I mean, if you want to put it like that, because they, mm-hmm. for example, somebody has an idea and it's kind of gaining popularity or something like that. And somebody comes in, hey, you know, I want to offer you a TV show or a movie or something. And they jump in the chance. And before you know it, 10 different writers came in and out the door. And the property that they created is not even recognizable anymore. It's completely different.
Yep.
It's just unrecognizable. So at that point, is like, was it even worth it? Like, this just doesn't make any sense, you know?
You nailed it. I mean, Casey, but should we make a cartoon of this sometime?
I mean,
what do you think?
Like, if it were on the level of like Invincible or something, yes, it would have to be that. Like, if it were they did an Aliens cartoon when I was a kid, I think, based off of the Aliens franchise.
Was that good?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because it was for kids. It was ostensibly for children. And I don't know that what we're trying to do would translate as well. You could do a fun punch 'em up. But yeah, it would, if they could walk the walk and talk the talk, and pay us, that would be lovely.
Pay us, absolutely.
Of course, man.
Here's the
thing. I really just want a director's chair.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Just give me.
You want to sit in the director's chair at the animation studio, going draw his arm.
Doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. You're moving his fingers wrong. I forgot what I was going to say now. I wanted just Casey in a director's chair. I love it.
Like Steven Spielberg just with a hat.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's all, and action! And then some guy starts drawing.
Doesn't work that way. We're animators. Is there something wrong with him?
Right.
All right, man. So with that, we're going to take a short little break, and we'll be coming right back with Dan and Casey for more of their Bigfoot Knows Karate project.
Alright, so that was the first part of the interview that I had with Dan and Casey from Bigfoot Knows Karate. I want to thank everyone that took some time to listen to that, and be on the lookout for part 2 next week. I also want to say follow them on social media. They are under Bigfoot Knows Karate on Twitter and Instagram. That's going to be the easiest way for you guys to find them. They have their website also, which I recommend you visit as well. They have some samples of their artwork in there from the comic. They have their contact information, stuff like that. So definitely go ahead and give them a visit. Like, follow, subscribe to their stuff. And as far as I go here on EMBL, thanks once again for listening. I do want to remind you guys all to visit our social media, which is, for the sake of convenience, grouped into the Linktree, which is under linktree.com/mythsbehindLGDS. Once again, that is linktree.com/myths behind LGDS. Under, you can find our links to everything from our Facebook, Twitter, Letterboxd, our Anchor profile, Spotify, etc. So, I want to wish all you guys a great morning, evening, night, madrugada. If you're hiking in the forest and you happen to come across a karate cryptid like Bigfoot here, I don't know, you might want to talk to him or stay away from him, whatever your prerogative is. But yeah, until we see you again on the next one, have a good one.